WCOJ in Coatesville.
Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberg.
You need to be able to educate yourself to understand what the Catholic Church teaches.
We need to understand our gifts and our abilities, and it's really about fertility awareness and responsible parenthood.
Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified OBGYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Betty, are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
A chaste lifestyle means joy and freedom.
If we promote it and promote it effectively, we will change the way people think about natural family planning.
It's a new journey in our faith.
And now, here are your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger, and I'm here with my lovely wife.
Hi, I'm Betty Ruppersberger.
And we're glad to have you with us this weekend, and as always, Betty will open with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We thank you for this, Father of all mercies. We thank you for this season of grace and light. We know that sin has blinded us. Draw us ever closer to you in prayer and penance. Since you, O God, are light itself, give all your people a clearer understanding of what sin is and what is virtue. Grant in particular that we may see, as never before, the profound dignity of every human life, including the vulnerable unborn children. Give us grace to defend our brothers and sisters in the womb by our prayers, our words, and our self-sacrificing actions. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a special program for you today. Today our essential topic or theme is going to be the dignity of the human person and pro-life ministries. And we have two guests that will be calling in over our next 50 minutes or so. We will be discussing topics that deal with the dignity of the person and the dignity of life. But we wanted to give you a little introduction and tell you a little bit about what exactly it is that the Catholic Church teaches about the dignity of the human person.
Well, the Catholic Church proclaims that human life is sacred and that the dignity of the human person is the foundation of a moral vision for society. This belief is the foundation of all principles of social teaching. In our society, human life is under direct attack from abortion and euthanasia. The value of human life is being threatened, actually, by cloning, embryonic stem cell research, and the use of the death penalty. The intentional targeting of civilians in war or terrorist attack is always wrong. Catholic teaching also calls on us to work to avoid war. Nations must protect the right to life by finding increasingly effective ways to prevent conflicts and resolve them by peaceful means. We believe that every person is precious and that the people are more important than things, and that the measure of every institution is whether it threatens or enhances the life and dignity of the human person.
So the two ministries that we're going to highlight today are definitely ministries that respect the dignity and the life of the human person. And we wanted to give special recognition and knowledge to them and let everyone out there know that they can be in some way involved with pro-life ministry, that it doesn't always have to do necessarily with beginning of life issues or end of life issues, although they certainly are important, but they also have to do with middle of life issues and the dignity of the person. Pro-life ministries have many functions and many different aspects to them. Quite frequently, they will develop educational material on pro-life issues. Sometimes they will conduct educational programs in the church, such as Respect Life programs. They will circulate fact sheets and other information on critical issues. They will publish columns for Catholic newspapers. They will encourage and enable programs to meet the needs of pregnant women, children, persons with disabilities, those who are sick or dying. All have been involved in any aspect of abortion. They will provide diocese and archdiocese with pro-life liturgical suggestions each month. They will help coordinate and advise on public policy efforts concerning these issues, and they will help implement major pro-life programs. Some are involved directly with person-to-person contact. Some are involved with prayer. Some are involved with fundraising. Some are involved with support supplies and equipment, just helping clean up and fix up and do different things. So the ministries that we're going to highlight today are the Crisis Pregnancy Center, the Community Women's Center of America, that has its primary location that started in Bristol on New Rogers Road about 6 years ago and opened up a second center in Philadelphia, 12th and Walnut, about a year and a half ago. And then we're also going to highlight in the second half of the program a new pro-life ministry called the Emmaus House. And we'll get into talking a little bit about with the principles of those two ministries as we move along. But I would further like to acknowledge that the teaching of the Catholic Church proclaims that human life is a precious gift from God, that each person who receives this gift has responsibilities toward God, self, and others, and that society, through its laws and social institutions, must protect and nurture human life at every stage of its existence. And our two guests today will manifest and reflect their personal involvement and their personal sacrifice and their personal gifts and their personal inspiration, I believe, through the Holy Spirit, to say yes to love and yes to life and yes to God in giving up whatever different aspects of their professional lives and personal lives to pursue these ministries, to recognize the dignity of the person, both at the beginning of life as well as in the middle of life, with people who have certain types of disabilities and need to be respected and need to be dignified. What always comes to my mind when I think about things like this is Terri Schiavo and how our country reacted to the handling of her death when she was being disrespected by the court system and by the legal system and by her own husband in not recognizing that she was still a living human being with breathing on her own, with brain function. She was able to metabolize and to be able to process food and liquid, and yet at the same time, for whatever reason, was called quote-unquote a vegetable, or stated that she was in a persistent vegetative state. And
well, the sad part about that was that she had two loving parents that were willing to care for her. And understandably, it may have been overwhelming for her husband, but they weren't asking anything of him. They were asking her. Her parents wanted him to give her to them, so that they could care for her, because they believed this so strongly. And she was a young woman who had a right to live a dignified life.
Right. And so many people rationalize that these people might be in pain or that they might be suffering. But when you think about the Gospels that we're going through Lent right now, and when Jesus cures the paralytic, and he cures the lepers, and he cures people that are blind, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. I mean, you can't be any more disabled than being dead. And he raises him from the dead, all because of his recognition of the humanity and the sadness that was associated with the dignity of the person and the loss of that dignity and the sadness of Lazarus's sisters who just went to Jesus and sought out his intercession and said, you know, Lord, if you had come here a couple of days earlier, then our brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, I couldn't have come. I needed to let him die so that I could reflect my Father's glory. And then he raised them through the dead by raising his eyes up to heaven. And so it is through these disabilities, it is through the presence of these people who are having difficulties, it is through this type of woundedness that people are able to see the glory of God. And we need to be able to step back from ourselves and be humble and take away some of our rationalization and our secular worldliness and say that if God wants this person to be alive, there has to be a reason for it. And I know in my medical profession, in taking care of people who in certain aspects are disabled and reflecting the respect that I would have for them, a lot of my girls that work in the office, when they have some of my profoundly disabled young women coming in for their gynecologic examinations, and that I actually lift them out of their chairs up onto the exam table, and then my girls have to go in and help them get undressed to get ready for the examination, and the involvement and the tenderness and the care that they have to demonstrate, it is a profound and amazing and really a holy experience. And then when I go in, I actually talk to the patients, and sometimes their aides will say, oh, she can't understand what you're saying. And I'll say, that's okay. I'm still going to talk to her anyhow. And so it's only because, as Mother Teresa said, you need to look at these people and see the Christness in these people, in their brokenness, that you will recognize him in the road to Emmaus, the breaking of the bread, the brokenness of these people, that you can see their Christness and what's going on. So I really think that we have spent close to beyond 15 years in talking about many, many pro-life issues, and I think this is the first program that we've actually ever did a program on the dignity of the person. So we are live at 215-345-1570, regardless of the fact that we may have a couple of guests that will be calling on and joining us for telephone interviews. We would tell you that you can feel free to call in at any point in time, either to express an opinion or a view, or tell us a story, or ask a question, and we will do our best to respond.
And with our culture today, my big concern is that physicians and healthcare providers are being put upon to make it feel like it's totally normal to euthanize a patient. So we really have to be cautious of that as we move along in our culture, to realize as Catholics that that is wrong, and that all persons have a right to dignity of the person, and from birth to natural death. And I think we have our caller, so hold on one moment.
Good afternoon. Hi, Marie?
Yes, Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling in. I'd like to introduce to our listening audience Marie Joseph, who is the Executive Director of the Community Women's Center of America, and something that Betty and I are very honored to be involved in indirectly in supporting that ministry. And we'd also like to acknowledge to everyone that we are your close personal friends, and that we love you dearly, and we appreciate you calling the program to help us portray a little bit about what your ministry is about, and the dignity of life and the value of life and the dignity of the person. And maybe you can share with us one or two stories of some aspects of what you have to deal with from day to day. So I guess the first thing that I would like to have you tell our listening audience, for those who may not be aware of what's going on in your ministry, Marie, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you did before you became involved in the ministry, and how you got involved with the Community Women's Center of America.
Okay, and we are, our pro-life mission is called the Legacy of Life Foundation, and so I'm the executive director of that, so I started out in Catholic, teaching in Catholic school, working with children, and then got my master's at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary and really thought that my calling was going to be teaching in the Catholic school, teaching theology. And it took a long time. The Lord made me wait for what that was going to be, and I was looking at different parish positions and different teaching jobs, and then out of nowhere, I recall you, Les Rufusberger, calling me. You and Betty had been praying and thinking because you were looking for, at the Women's Center, you were looking for an executive director, and you had started this Women's Center the year before, and it had started as just somebody who, Bob Milner, who just got tired of watching, you know, abortions happening at Planned Parenthood and owned the property across the street and said, you know, I think I just want to get this started, and was looking for a group that would put this into action, would start a center. And so he said, I think I'll call the Catholics because they know how to get things together, pro-life things together. So they called the Pro-Life Union and the Family Life Educational Foundation in Philly. And then the next thing I know, you know, what I understand is that a bunch of people like, and you, Dr. Rufusberger, you, Betty Rufusberger, said yes to the call and joined the board. And a center was created in Bristol, Pennsylvania. And then, you know, you were looking for an executive director. And so, again, the Holy Spirit. So really was not, as you said last to me on the phone that night, this might be really off your radar, and the truth is, yes, it was. I'm a revert to the Catholic faith, came back, had a conversion experience, came back to the Catholic faith after many years away, and so everything was new for me. It's not like I grew up in the pro-life movement and, you know, praying outside of clinics my whole life. No, I hadn't been. So for me, it was a new world to come in and say, what does this whole picture look like? What are these women who are determined to have an abortion, what do they need to hear? Where have they been? A lot of them have been broken. A lot of them have come from difficult and lives where they haven't been loved or listened to. And a lot of them are just spiritually dead. And so being someone who was all of those things, it was definitely a Holy Spirit natural fit, although I didn't see that. But I said yes, and you guys promised to be there for me, and you have, and it's been really a great trip, and we've been really building a foundation for a ministry that's really assisting women, and then of course the end result and the fruit of that work is that lives are being saved, and not just lives being saved, but lives that were already scheduled abortions that would have been dead are alive, and that's been a huge blessing to watch.
Well, it is quite amazing because we're going to start this program with the beginning of life and how important it is that every person matters. No matter how poor or rich or dysfunctional you are, every person matters. Mm-hmm. And as you see these women come in desperate for an answer to their situation, I've witnessed you, Marie, give such loving advice and direction without it always being their choice. And so we're fortunate that we have you in this ministry. So tell us a little bit about this ministry, like on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I think what I really like the listeners, I think, to understand is to really try to, and again, we're following Pope Francis, mm-hmm. and some of his direction. I feel like it's exactly right on, because what we're, you know, sometimes I think people think the person coming in for abortion, yeah, they're scared, they don't know what they're going to do, but they're definitely, the women that we're speaking to are determined, and they, you know, they've been by the culture of death has convinced them and lied to them that this is okay. And so there's like three main things that they don't understand. One is that life is created by God, and it's not just created by them and they can just destroy it, you know. And then two is that it is a life. Mm-hmm. So we have people walking around, women and men, who do not believe that this is really a life. And three is that life requires responsibility if you're alive today, you know, just the fact that you have life, you should be responsible for it. And there's no responsibility anymore, and it, we're seeing that it's really because of birth control, right, is that you can, you know, partake in the sexual union and not think that a child is coming from that. So they come in saying, you know what, we don't really know how this happened, you know, we don't know how this happened. And I said, oh, really? You know, well, and then, you know, we find out, yeah, well, we were using birth control, so we thought that there wouldn't be any baby out of this. So what we do at the center is, with love and compassion and no judgment, we do free pregnancy testing, we do an ultrasound so that we can show them that it's a life, and we're basically giving them their human right, which is, and the right of the state of Pennsylvania, is to fully consent to an abortion. No woman by law is to have an abortion unless she fully consents. Is we're giving her all the information and we're educating her on exactly what the abortion would mean. So we are speaking to her about abortion, and that's really important that someone's able to do that for somebody and then show her it's a life. And then the main thing is, no woman's coming in saying, I want to have an abortion today. They're coming in saying, I have no choice, therefore I have to have one. So we're providing choice. We're actually promoting choice, because the only a free choice is life. So we're giving them a choice, and we're saying, we will help you for 9 months and 3 years after the baby's born, or we'll help you with an adoption. So we're giving her choices that are really the real free choice, life. And we're not just saying, oh, keep your baby. We're saying, you know, let us help you so that you can still get a job and keep going to school. So we have everything from teenagers all the way to people who are in their 30s, late 30s, thinking, I didn't ever thought I would be pregnant. I'm not in a position. You know, I might be single or whatever it is, but no judgment, just love and compassion, and allowing her to be empowered to make that, make her totally free so that she could choose life.
Do you, how many, I know that on a, this mission has happened for a few years now, and I know that you personally are making a difference, and these centers are making a difference through the generous contributions of those who support the Legacy of Life Foundation. Mm-hmm. But how many babies, how many lives do you think have walked through that door, and how many babies have you saved in a certain amount of time, like, you know, 6 months?
Yeah, it's really only been a couple of years. And just, again, so that the listeners understand, is that Bristol Center has been open for about five, it's going into its sixth year, but the majority of the amount of women coming through has been in the last 4 years. And then we had such success that somebody died and left money and gave a grant to the Pro-Life Union, who gave us the money to open our second center in the Center City, Philadelphia, which is now booming. And so, you know, the number of women coming in has been thousands of women. We have all kinds of women coming in, and we do help women, any woman who is in need of supplies and help for having a baby. But our passion and our mission is to speak to the woman who is abortion-determined, many women who've already scheduled abortions. And you know, just to give you an idea of numbers, we saw about 600 of them last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just last year, you know, we had at least, and the numbers always changing because we're always finding out new women who we thought and lost touch with. We thought she wasn't keeping the baby, and she is. So it was about 200 babies that were alive last year only.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a couple hundred now, and it just keeps growing and growing. So our numbers just keep going higher and higher. So we did about 600 abortion sessions last year. We spoke to women who had scheduled abortions and wanted to have an abortion, and it's been about, you know, about half of them say yes to life in Bristol, and the number is lower in Philly because it's an even deeper abortion-determined woman who's coming in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, it's a sensitive topic. Some people don't feel comfortable with the kind of conversations we have, but the end result is that we're really able to come in at that beginning stage where a woman who maybe would never come into a place, if she thought she was being judged, you know, she's met with so much care. But these numbers keep growing, and then the women who have had abortions, many of them come back because of the way we minister to them. They feel comfortable coming back when they get pregnant again and say, you know what, you were right. This was my abortion experience. It was terrible. I'm having suicidal thoughts. I have a drinking problem. I'm like, my marriage broke up. My engagement broke up. And so we're there to pick up those pieces, too, and minister to her and help her the second time around keep the baby. And or we do also, we're very close with Rachel's Vineyard. We work very closely with them, and we bring women on those retreats, and we get to see healing and evangelization happening. And so, again, the end result is that we bring her through the mercy and the love that we share, that we bring her closer to God, and that's what the mission is. But like Pope Francis said, is just to meet them with love and compassion and meet them where they are without pushing necessarily, you know, religion on anybody. It's to love them into that relationship.
Right. And right. I've witnessed this, and it takes more than just one person, because I know that this center has an amazing prayer chain. The Knights of Columbus have been involved with the ultrasound machines. So, right. You know, many women volunteering to help out with supplies. So it is quite an army of people.
Right. And to your point, I'd love to just thank everyone who's contributed to the Legacy Life Foundation. I'd like to say that we only exist from donation to donation from individuals. We don't have any government grants. We don't have any long-standing grants that we're receiving. We're raising funds, and we're the same people that are in there counseling are the same people who are also trying to raise funds to keep the doors open. So we have 24-hour service. We, you know, right now we have 3 appointments going on. As I'm speaking to you right now, there are women who came in who really want abortions today. Their appointments were, you know, 4 o'clock, 4:15. We have ultrasounds going right now as I speak. And so we have a prayer ministry. The only reason why we do what we do, and that women are converted and changed in their thinking and their hearts, is because we have staff and because we have prayer ministry going on. We have adoration going on Fridays. So this is a work of God. However, it means that to keep the doors open, we need the funds. And the other thing is that we have identified this model that God's given us, that this works. You know, this really mm-hmm. is a way that we can start to see it change. You know, when Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, came in, she met with people one at a time, and then 50 years later, or whatever, how many years later, you know, we have all these abortions, 3,000 a day. So our goal is that we can reverse this with this model that God's given us, but it's only going to stay open. And the more staff we have, the more women we can see. We almost can't keep up in Philly because we double book, but we only have one or two counselors at a time there. If we had the money to hire more counselors, we'd be able to see more women, and we could save more babies, you know. So,
well, if someone wants to make a donation to the Legacy of Life Foundation, where would they send it? Because okay, this is your opportunity.
That's right. And I would say number one. So number one would be to go to the legacyoflifefoundation.org. Legacyoflifefoundation.org, and somebody can make a donation right there online. I would urge everyone today that if you have 5 minutes, the best way you could use your 5 minutes in Lent today on Friday, the Day of the Passion, would be to go on there and watch this video on the homepage that will give you testimonies from the women who were going to have abortions who chose life, and it will tell you what we do. They could make a check to Legacy Life Foundation and send it to 25 South Main Street in Yardley, Pennsylvania, 19067, 25 South Main Street, Yardley, Pennsylvania, 19067, or they could call right now, 215-788-4051. That's 215-788-4051. And all that information is on the legacyoflifefoundation.org. Right now, you know, we don't really have a lot of staff to do fundraising, so we have just this year, you know, like, again, in the spirit of Pope Francis, is we're not spending money on big dinners or anything else. We just have a Legacy of Life Foundation fund that we have to raise $360,000 this year and to keep our doors open in 2 centers. And our goal is to do about 1,000 pregnancy tests and save, like, you know, 500 babies this year. And, you know, we have brochures and all kinds of things to tell somebody. How much does it cost to save a baby? Well, basically, it's like about $1,500. And so if anybody wanted to know that, you know, they could know that.
Right.
If you go to legacylifefoundation.org, all the information is there, and they can make a donation that way. We also have a new donor's wall that just went up in Philadelphia. So if a loved one, if you want to memorialize a loved one, There's different levels. There's gold, silver, bronze, and your name could go on the wall in the center. It's a beautiful donor's wall with the skyline of Philly, and an artist made it for us, donated. And so the donor's wall in Philly, you could also find that on the website as well.
Marie, before we let you go, I want you to talk a little bit about Family Day. Tell everybody a little bit about what goes on Family Day, because it's not just trying to save the babies, but it's what you do for these families after the babies are born, because that's the ongoing ministry and legacy, hence the Legacy of Life Foundation.
Exactly, right. So the legacy is to strengthen the families. And on Fridays, we open our doors on Fridays, and we have a big open house called Family Support Healthy Solutions. And it's a life coaching program where women are learning. They counsel, they're counseled, and they're coached. They have a life coach, right? And this is all, like, a generosity of the people there volunteering. And we provide life coaching skills. And so they have, like, a 12-month program, and they learn everything from, you know, how to have a healthy home, how to take care of yourself nutritionally, how to do budgeting, you know. And then we weave in the theology of the body and healthy sexuality, you know, into that. And as a return, they get supplies. They get diapers and wipes, and they get clothing and different things they can choose from on Fridays. So Friday's a really great day there, a great day for volunteers, and a great day for women to be growing as mothers and cherishing that experience and meeting women who are, you know, are role models, you know, great, good Catholic women and all kinds of women who are volunteering and are role models for these women. And it's a beautiful day, and it's a great way for them to feel supported. Like, it's not just that we said, just not choose life and then, yeah, we can just add our numbers up. You know, it's no, we want to help change the culture of life one person at a time, one baby, but especially one really good mother and father at a time. And that's how we're going to see a pro-life community and family. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, that's great.
How do you get your supplies?
Again, our supplies are all donated. And, you know, the best way if somebody wanted to help us with supplies would be to give us gift cards, because that way we can buy. We don't have a whole lot of space for storage, but people do drive. I'll tell you another great drive and another great fundraiser that we ask Knights of Columbus or Parish Respect Life groups to do are the baby bottles. So baby bottle fundraisers are great because it doesn't put too much on any one person. The parishes love it. People love it. And then we could take that money and we can buy the supplies so that there's no waste. We buy exactly what these women do. So when you make a donation, you know, we really do keep our expenses down. The center is donated. So all the money goes to being able to provide exactly the supplies that women need for their pregnancy and then for 3 years going into. And we make sure that we advocate for women so that people aren't kicked out of their, if they're going to be kicked out of their homes, we help them with housing. If they need jobs, we help them find jobs. You know, all those kinds of things that we do to keep this going and to keep people having a great life experience, like a pro-life experience, right? Amen?
Right.
Amen. So, Marie, thank you for the time that you took. We know that you're busy, and we know that you have a couple of things going on there, and you can see from our audience members how late into, even on a Friday afternoon, the center is up and functioning and running and helping and everything. Any final thoughts or words for the listening audience? I know that there's always a need for volunteers for the hotline and things like that. So anything for your final thoughts before we move on to our next caller?
Yes, I guess I would just say that if anybody felt called and moved, you know, by the Holy Spirit, you know, the pro-life work is not, I used to think it was just a club that you should join, a club if you want to. You could either be pro-life or you could join the choir. And that's definitely not the case. So we're all called to promote life, because this is the biggest offense against the human person right now is abortion. And that we have a lot of confused people. So we want to spread the message. But the best way to spread the message is to decide either, you know, volunteer or take some of your own sacrificial earnings that you've made, and whether it's $5, $10, or $500, or $1,000, and it's a really holy investment in the future of our country and of our world would be to help save a life, and this is a direct way to do it. So I'd ask everyone to go on that Legacy Life Foundation.org website and watch that video today and let God speak to you.
Great.
Well, thank you so much, Marie. We appreciate your calling in and taking some time out of your schedule. And God bless you for your ministry and for your saying yes to life and to love and to taking care of this ministry. And we appreciate your friendship.
And thank you. And thank you, Betty. Thank you so much for allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you and to think of me and let me allow me to do this blessed ministry. Thank you so much.
And Marie, you remain in our prayers because I know it's not easy.
Thank you.
On a day-to-day basis. So,
amen.
We'll
yeah, there's a lot of people not happy with the work we're doing, but
yep.
God is happy. Praise
all
the
right.
Lord. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank
God
you. Bless.
So you can see, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a lot of involvement in a pro-life ministry. It's not just something that's a bunch of words and a phrase or a paragraph. And we now welcome on our program another individual by the name of Ann Bradley, who has the beginnings of starting another pro-life ministry. And we welcome you, Ann, to our program.
Thank you, Les and Betty.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hi, Betty. I'm well. Thank you.
So, Ann, before we get into talking a little bit about your ministry specifically, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and how you came to this idea for this ministry.
Well, I'm the mother of 8 children, 6 sons and 2 daughters. My 4th son, Kevin, who just turned 23, has autism, intellectual disability, and epilepsy as well. So I've been a stay-at-home mom most of my life. I homeschooled for 11 years, and I've always been active in the pro-life movement. I presently teach catechesis of the Good Shepherd at a local private Catholic school where my youngest 2 children attend. For a long time, I felt the need for a quality, faith-based home for my son. I had back of my mind the worry of what will happen to my son when I die or I just get too old to take care of him, who will provide him with the love and the nurturing that we've given him. And I know the system well as I've worked with the county and state for the past 23 years advocating for him. And I've come to discover that there is a very critical shortage for quality residential homes and day programs in the country, and especially in this area. And as far as faith-based homes, traditionally the religious orders that used to run them exist no more, or there just are very few. So the need is very great for a faith-based residence for men and women with intellectual disabilities.
So what is your idea for this ministry to try to fill this need?
Well, right now we have a nonprofit. We have a 501c3 called Emmaus Home, and it's a project right now because we're still in our infancy stages. We hope to open a home in the near future for men with intellectual disabilities that will be Catholic in its tradition. Men with Down syndrome, autism, learning delays will be welcomed. It will be similar to L'Arche, founded by Jean Vanier, who many of the listeners, I'm sure, have read his beautiful writings. L'Arche is an international community now that houses communities throughout the world. And the beauty of it is there are long-term committed volunteers who live with the residents anywhere from 1 to 2 years. So that is the model that we're hoping our home will be. And we are presently seeking out empty convents, directories for this home. We're hoping that it won't be too long. We're presently talking to a pastor who has an empty convent, but we're not there yet. We have a lot of hurdles to get over. So it is our prayer that our home will open in the Archdiocese in the near future.
So what would you like to tell our audience or ask our audience as far as support and what you have coming up and what your needs are and what you would like to do? I'm sure that it goes from soup to nuts as far as ultimately when you do get this residence, you're going to need funding, furniture, supplies,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have obviously money, you know?
So. Right. Yes. Well, our goal is to really raise awareness for the need for a faith-based residence, such as Emmaus will be, for men with intellectual disabilities. And, I mean, initially we want to start with men, but down the line we would love to open a house for women as well. There's such a need because one out of every 88 people is being diagnosed on the autistic spectrum today. And a lot of these guys are turning 21, and entitlements are over. You know, once a child hits 21, and so what's a parent to do? So there's a real need for awareness in our society. So our goal for Emmaus is to raise that awareness as well as to raise money to realize this project.
Mm-hmm. Where did you come up with the word, with the name Emmaus?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I really felt the Lord speak to my heart in prayer for Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 13. It's the Gospel where our Lord is walking along the road outside of Jerusalem, and he encounters disciples who did not recognize him until they sat at table and in the breaking of the bread. And I kind of followed a parallel with how our society today does not recognize the innate worth of people with handicaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially handicaps like my son has. He looks so normal, but then he does all kinds of quirky things that are very odd and very alarming at times. So we live in a utilitarian society where people are valued for the degrees they have, what's after their names, where they live, you know, what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And in a society that's getting more and more like this every day, people with intellectual disabilities can never compete. They'll never be able to hold up. So it's our hope that in Emmaus home, they won't have to. They'll be loved and respected for just being who they are and not for what they can do or what they have. Because most times if they're just living on their SSI, they are poor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Emmaus home will be a place of belonging, you know. So that's our goal for the home, and that's where Emmaus came from.
Beautiful.
Well, you remind me a little bit of Henry Nouwen's book with Burning Hearts. And for those in our audience who may not be familiar, Henry Nouwen was a priest that died about 20 years ago. And he worked in a community of mentally disabled and challenged men in Canada. And I think it was called the Day House or something like that. I can't recall right now. And he predicated the basis of his book on the road to Emmaus. So the specific thing about that is that the way the disciples finally came to know that it was Jesus that they were walking with is that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And so we need to be able to see the Christness in these people through their brokenness. And meet them where they are as the disciples met as Jesus met the disciples on the road, and reach out to them and relate to them in communion. And so he talks about all these aspects in this book, and I would encourage anyone who is interested in wanting to be involved to think about reading this book and coming to an awareness that you came to through your personal experience. Do you have a website or a place, a number, or an information site where people can go to either make a donation or access information, or perhaps can reach out to you if they're interested in wanting to join you in this type of ministry to
sure.
At least communicate?
Yes, our very humble website is under construction, but it still gives our information, including my contact information and our mission statement and some events that are coming up is emmaushome.org, and that's E umaushome.org. And they can donate on the site, and it also gives information about our upcoming fundraiser.
You want to tell us a little bit about that fundraiser that's coming up?
Sure. It will be held on Sunday, April 13th, which is Palm Sunday, at St. Joseph's Church in Collingdale, Pennsylvania, which is in Delaware County.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to give the address?
Sure.
Okay. It's 500 Woodlawn Avenue in Collingdale. And the day will begin with Mass at 3 o'clock. And it will be celebrated by a Franciscan Friar of the Renewal, Father Louis Marie, who is on our board and has been very helpful and instrumental in this whole project. And it will be celebrated by the pastor, Father Thomas Sedano. So then it will include, it will be spaghetti dinner, the whole works, dessert, coffee. And then following the dinner will be entertainment by Catholic musician Marty Rotella and the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, who are very, very talented musically. So it should be a really fun afternoon, and it will be our first fundraiser for the Emmaus Home Project. And the tickets are $10 for adults and $7 for children.
Wow.
And how can people purchase those tickets? And do they go to the website and contact
yeah.
you? Or
yeah, that would be the best way, to go to emmaushome.org.
Okay. All right, that's great.
For $10, I don't think you can go to McDonald's.
No.
So why don't you go there for dinner that night on April
13th? And get free entertainment and get dessert and support a wonderful ministry that's just – and I want to point out that Anne didn't start out, and I'm not speaking for her, but, you know, having a family with 8 children and being as busy as she is in her life, she didn't start out with the idea in her life that she would ever come to a point where she would be at the head or the helm or the lead of starting a pro-life ministry. But we're all called at some point in time by our individual experiences. And I want to point out to our audience that you're all called to support life. And you're all called to recognize the dignity of life. And you're all called in some way. If you're not a leader of a ministry, if you're not a founder of a ministry, then we need your prayers. We need your support. We need your financial support. We need your physical support. We need your emotional support. We need your spiritual support. And all of these ministries that support and recognize the dignity of the person and the value and the worth of created life by our Lord need to be able to be supported in some way. And our culture and our society is not giving them the type of support and the type of recognition and acknowledgement that the dignity and the value of their very created existence portrays in their Christness. We're all created in the image and likeness of God. So I'm sure that, we just happened to meet, Anne.
I'm amazed. I just got to tell the story real quick. I met Anne because she was one of the first people to volunteer at the Woman's Center, the Legacy of Life Foundation, to take phone calls for women that were seeking abortions. Now, for our listeners, this is a mother who cares about life, who has 8 children, a special needs child, and she's volunteering to stop abortion. So thank you, Anne, for your love and support for all human life, because this is amazing to me, and your witness to me, just meeting you, knowing that you care so much, is just amazing.
And then I met Anne at a recognition dinner for the volunteers for the Legacy of Life Foundation at a pasta dinner at an Italian restaurant in Yardley, and we got to talking about ministries and 501c3s and
right.
foundations and this and that mm-hmm. and the other thing. And I said, well, yeah, maybe you should just come on our radio program and talk about this. That have come to Betty and I over the 15 years. I mean, every single solitary month, we sit down and we think, oh, what are we going to talk about this month? What are we going to talk about this month? They come totally through the Holy Spirit, totally driven, by the Holy Spirit either sending us an idea, sending us a phone call, sending us a message, or sending us a person. And here this person, Ann, comes into this restaurant, comes over, says, "Hi, how are you?" "Fine. I'm Ann Bradley. Oh, I'm Les Ruppersberger. Nice to meet you. What do you do?" "I work on the phone line." "What do you do?" "Oh, I'm the medical director." "Oh, that's nice." And start talking about these issues, and the next thing you know, here we are on Catholic radio on a Friday afternoon trying to tell our audience that they need to be prepared to support ministries of life like this that will promote the dignity of the person and help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And the rewards will not be in this world. They will be in the next. So if anyone has any questions for Ann about her ministry or any comments, we have a couple of minutes left in the program. Call us at 215-345-1570. We know that we have some friends and some other people out there that know Ann and know about her ministry and know about having family members who have different disabilities. And so if you're listening and you'd like to chime in or have a question or like to call, give us a buzz at 215-345-1570.
And again, just like the Legacy of Life Foundation, the EmmausHome.org needs more than one person. It takes many people to get this off the ground and get this going. So, Ann, you know, she's looking for your assistance, your help, your prayers, whatever it takes.
Your house. If anybody feels the Holy Spirit prompting them to donate a house, that's what we, you know, that's what we really need to get this going.
Well, we do have priests that do listen, and we would challenge all of you pastors out there that have empty rectories and empty convents and large pieces of property that are immediately available that are not being used. And I could rattle off a handful of them, you know, right off the top of my head to consider the possibility of making these locations available for the possibility of having this type of ministry right next to a Catholic church,
right
on the property of a Catholic church that was formerly occupied either by priests or nuns that now would be a perfect home. Because the rooms are already subdivided into, you know, mini apartments with bathrooms and everything else. So it wouldn't take major construction. And anybody else that can provide support from a legal point of view, from a financial point of view, accountants, attorneys, anyone that could just provide a service of counseling and advice to be a volunteer to contact Ann and say, you know, I can't build a house, I don't have a lot of money, but I do this or I do that or I do the other thing, and how can I help you? And it will just fall, you know, into place, and, you know, the volunteers will come.
Right, and already the Lord has raised up many, many people to help with this. It's a collaboration, you know, it's just everybody's gifts and talents, and so we're very blessed already to have the people that have already stepped forward. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Any final words that you may have about your ministry or anything else that you would like to have the listening audience know, Ann, before we finalize? We have about 4 minutes left. I'm getting a little signal here from our program director. So before we end up, I would like to thank you, first of all, for your saying yes to love and to life and to the dignity of the human person. And I would like to thank you for your motherhood, and I would like to thank you for saying yes to this ministry and joining us on the program today. We really appreciate the information and you joining us.
Oh, thank you, Les and Betty, for allowing me to speak about Emmaus Home. And thank you for all you do. But mostly I just ask for prayer, prayer for our fortitude and that we will continue to be faithful to what our Lord and His Mother, Mary, are calling us to do. And that, and through the intercession of St. Joseph, who's been a big part of this whole thing too, that a house will become available to us. And so that we can have a place of love and belonging for those that you know, St. Vincent de Paul used to say Christ was twice in the poor and in the sick. So, you know, these individuals are very, very pure of heart and just beautiful to know and to appreciate. So just pray for us, and thanks for listening.
We will. Thank you so much. And Betty has one or two announcements that she wants to mention to you in case...
Just a quick announcement. There's going to be a Mass for Persons with Disabilities at the Cathedral on April 12th. And
Day before the dinner.
Yeah, and for more information, you can go on archphillip.org.
Okay.
And also, there's going to be a retreat for mothers of children with disabilities at the Malvern Retreat House, and that's on May 7th. It's a Tuesday. And Father Chris Walsh will be giving that retreat. So go on archphillip.org for more information. So the Archdiocese is trying to reach out. If you have a child with disabilities or a family member, maybe this is a good time for you to go and network at one of these, at this Mass or at the family or at the retreat. And Anne, I hope you're going to be there because I'm sure there's going to be people there that are going to be able to help you in some way.
And everyone, don't forget the spaghetti dinner, Emmaus Home Spaghetti Dinner, April 13th, Sunday at 3 p.m., $10 a ticket, and you get the whole works plus entertainment, and all the money goes to support the Emmaus Home. So, Anne, thank you so much, and God bless you and your ministry, and Betty and I will certainly keep you in your prayer as well as the Holy Spirit Radio audience. And if anybody's interested in wanting to help, they can go to emmaushome.org and get some information and follow up with you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Les and Betty.
You're welcome. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
So as we wind down, we'd like to thank our guests, Marie Joseph from the Legacy of Life Foundation and Anne Bradley from the Emmaus Home, two wonderful ministries that you've heard, how these women were called from what they were doing in their life earlier to take on these ministries and take on this responsibility and how much is involved in their work. And Betty and I certainly appreciate knowing them and knowing about their ministries. As we wind down, we would sincerely ask all of you who have been listening to remember both of those ministries in your prayers, and we'll finish with a prayer that will beseech St. Joseph, the Father of our Lord, to help us out. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for calling us to recognize the ministry of life and love, and especially to call your Heavenly Father, Joseph, who we ask to intercede for the behalf of these ministries that we pray for today. Thank you for listening, and have a great weekend, and God bless.